Welcome. I'm Lori Lee Binstock, and this is a Trauma Survivor Thrivers podcast. Thank you so much for joining me for a Trauma Survivor Thrivers podcast on Mental Health News Radio Network. This podcast is also available wherever you get your podcasts, but I do suggest checking out Mental Health News Radio Network to find all your podcasts related to mental health. Today's guest is Sherry Kaplan, and expert in integrative mental health care and plant medicine. Sherry emphasizes blending traditional therapy with cutting-edge protocols like plant medicines, ketamine therapy, breath work, and somatic practices. She's also the founder of the Can't Tell Foundation, which provides access to integrative care for those affected by trauma, PTSD, anxiety, depression, and more. Sherry, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you for having me.
Well, first of all, I like to ask all my guests, this is a Trauma Survivor Thrivers podcast, what got you into this work? What is your story?
Oh, I have so
Is it heavy?
many stories that like, I like, let me see if I can boil it down to a few. As a young child, I had a head trauma. I was in a bicycle accident. My lip was torn off. And then 5 years later, I got another head trauma by playing baseball, and a boy didn't want me on his team and kind of wailed me in the back of my head with a baseball bat. So that took me on the journey of trying to heal my own brain at a time when nobody knew what was going on for me. So I knew how to read and write at 4. And then all of a sudden I had dyslexia at 10. So there was that part of my story. And then my son was born in 2002, and he had a central nervous system disorder. He had a movement disorder, a seizure disorder. He had brain damage in his frontal lobe, and he had something sitting in mass effect on his hippocampus. And I studied neuroanatomy, and I got into plant medicine and studied, like did a lot of literature reviews and actually called the universities where the studies were done to see if I can use different dosing on children. And then I started making formulas to stimulate his sympathetic nervous system and calm his parasympathetic nervous system. And as I was doing that, I was treating a lot of physicians for trauma. And they started smelling my plants, and they were like, hey, do you have anything for like GERD or my torn rotary cuff? So here I sit like many years later and 200 formulations in tow as a result of just creating formulas as needed. And then in 2007, my children went through a horrific trauma, and they were, without getting into any details, severely sexually assaulted and physically assaulted and then nearly killed.
Oh,
and the only way that I could make sense of that happening was to heal them.
Yeah.
And then I ended up, you know, like really trying to release my own personal anger and pain. And I've been meditating since I'm 11, thank God, because I don't know that I could have survived all these different things without that in tow. And then I finally, one morning out of a morning meditation, created an entire trauma treatment protocol out of all of the different modalities that I used to help my children heal, and realized that I had an entire trauma treatment program. And that's how I created my center, Connected Wellness, and how I got into doing trauma treatment in both groups for people. And individually, I've done it intensively. And my goal with the Can't Tell Foundation, my ultimate goal, is to treat every single child in foster care with my integrative mental health protocols that I put together that we've actually tested over time since 2010 till now. And they're extremely successful, and people who go through the program, whether they've done it intensively just with me and my team alone, or we've done it in groups, have done very well in life.
Wow.
So that's my story.
That's very interesting. I mean, it sounds like you have so many lives, like you were saying, but you did a really great job boiling it down. And one thing that stood out, and I want to touch on that this really quickly, was I find it interesting you for you reached out to different universities regarding dosing for your son. I'm not sure what his age was at that time.
Four. He was
Four.
four.
Did you get any pushback from that?
I did. A matter of fact, I think people were like, "Who are you and why are you calling me?" I think they were surprised that I even read their research because there's a lot of studies, if you don't know, on like individual herbs, like individual plants are out there. NIH has a ton of studies published. And so that's really where I went. And I saw that, like University of Dubai, like was one of the first people I called, and they were doing something on Parkinson's. And my son had a movement disorder. So it made sense to me to think like, okay, well, let me see what they're doing for people with Parkinson's and what herbs are they using. And so when I called them up, it's like I obviously have to get through to the receptionist, and the receptionist has to get me to somebody. And then I can finally get to someone on their team. And everyone was so like, "You're a mom and you're calling about your child." And so I think everyone was very gracious. I have never had anyone. I called Cornell University when I was trying to help my daughter, and they were just so incredibly helpful. Every single, I can't say that there was one scientist that I called or anyone that worked on the team that when I was asking questions, they were more, I think they were more touched that I was going to that length to help my child than anyone ever gave me any negativity ever.
I mean, I guess they are researchers, right? They know the research, they know what's happening versus someone who doesn't, who feels the need to judge. I there have been a few people who've reached out to me about their children for ketamine treatment. Like, do I know anybody? And obviously, I send them to these places. These places they don't treat anyone who is not an adult. They don't treat anyone younger than that. So that's where I guess my curiosity lies.
We actually do treat kids with ketamine. I think our youngest one we treated was 14 or 15, but we have. I think that there's sometimes where that's indicated and extremely helpful, and I think that we have certainly saved a few people from going down some very dark paths using ketamine-assisted therapy. Focus is on the therapy. The
Amazing. Well,
ketamine is the lubricant, but we can talk about that later.
yes. And I might have to reach out to you offline in regards to some of the folks who have reached out to me. So, but I do. So there's plant medicine, psychedelics. I'm sure traditional plants, that herbs that people probably have always used. But you focus on, holistic methods to empower people to help them process, their pains and rewire pathways, which I think is extremely effective. And so I kind of want you to talk a little bit about that, especially with the rewiring of these neural pathways and you talking about, your concussion. There's just so much there that I just want to get into.
So I think I can make it very understandable for the layperson out there,
I
which
love it.
is when you have trauma, and again, these are my layperson's terms. When you have trauma, there's fight, flight, or freeze, right? Those are your survival instincts that kick in. And when that happens, your brain goes into lockdown, right? And so if you're in fight or flight, a whole bunch of other neurobiological processes happen to prepare your body to either fight or run. And when you're in the freeze response, your body has a bunch of neurobiological processes for you to start shutting down and conserving, right? So there's, and we could go from there into so many different conversations about how people get stuck in their body and chronic pain and different medical conditions. But let's just start with here's what happens. You have fight or flight or freeze, and you go into lockdown. A lot of people tend over time, if they've had chronic or traumatic stress, to dissociate from their present. They're not really 100% living in their body. They're still living, reacting as if there's a lion chasing them, as if that they're in this hypervigilant mode because they got stuck there, right? And so part of the treatment, I think an important, the important foundations of the treatment is to number one, know that our bodies are built to self-correct and self-heal. You have to get them back into homeostasis, which is that state where, you know, there's your sympathetic mode, which is you're up and ready to rock and roll and you're like in a more vigilant state. And then there's the parasympathetic mode, which you're, you know, relaxed, you're in rest and digest mode, and that's your parasympathetic. So in parasympathetic, you go into your homeostasis, right? So in this nice, peaceful place. So if we can get your body to self-regulate, we can get it to a place where it can correct and heal. And then the other foundation is we have over a trillion cells in our bodies that all have thousands of receptors and transmitters on it. And then we have over 200 trillion living organisms in our body. So regardless if you're a cell or if you're a living organism, you are eavesdropping on every thought and feeling and vibration that we are having. And so if you understand that you are responsible for how this body responds to you, now we can start with, well, what do you need? And what we need is to be able to know how to upregulate the central nervous system into sympathetic and how to downregulate it into parasympathetic. Well, that means you must be present. You have to be present. So we need to teach people, how do we understand our bodies and feel ourselves from the inside out? And how do we feel the world from the outside in? And how do we regulate that? So now you need exercises and skills and tools, and you need awareness. So here comes the training. You need mindfulness and meditation. You need specific physical exercises to teach people to do to get them present in their body. So yoga becomes really important. Things like Qigong, another stay present and aware. You're doing a lot of brain balancing in both of those types of exercises. You're learning how to move and be present in your body and being present in this moment as opposed to at the age that you were traumatized, which is where people get stuck, right? And then from there, not everybody's bodies can be okay. That's my therapy dog in the other room, if you're hearing her bark. But I might just move myself instead of trying to deal with her. So being able to teach them how to stay present in their bodies and how to have proprioception awareness, as well as awareness from the inside out and the outside in, is what I'm trying to say. So now some people need, you know, when you hear people need medication. So my first line of approach for if your body is off is nutrition. Mm-hmm. And then there's nutrition. There's obviously some supplements that could be really helpful in terms of supporting your cells, probiotics and prebiotics. But we use a lot of plants to help with the body's regulation because there are plants that can be very stimulating and there can be plants that are very calming. So that's how plant medicine can be helpful. And then there's the actual therapy itself. Well, there's exercise too, because exercise comes with a whole bunch of proprioception, like sending signals from the body to the brain and then sending signals from the brain to the body. So there's all different kinds of exercises for that. And that gets jammed up during that fight or flight response. And then we use therapy modalities like EMDR, eye movement desensitization reprocessing, which allows you to actually target a negative belief along with the image that goes with it, the feelings, the body sensations or emotions, or we call it now somatic experience. Right. So it's thoughts, feelings, beliefs, body sensations, and images. So you're collecting things from all different senses. And sometimes, depending on what the person went through, well, all the time, we'll ask them about if they recall any smells that go along with that. And then you use bilateral movements or eye movements, sound, or touching in order to help the brain and body unlock out of fight or flight and how to get it into that parasympathetic mode where you have the opportunity to like you're actually reframing what went on. So if you believed you were powerless, you can actually get the person to a place where they're not having fight or flight. And so you can look at that situation, not feel powerless, and then help the person bring about, like, what is it that they'd like to feel about themselves today when they reflect on that? And obviously they want to feel more calm and confident. And then you can use that, those same modalities to get that in. And then from that's very the very simplistic explanation of that. And then we also use some ego state psychology and some internal family systems along with some gestalt work, but it's very experiential because you're trying to shift someone's perception of what happened and have them experience that experience from the empowered person that they are today. So we use a strengths perspective, resiliency enhancement model, where we really focus on what skills and tools someone has and their personal strengths, their already personality strengths that are there that maybe have dimmed down because of the chronic and traumatic stress. So it's a lot of different modalities that we put together. And then later on in life, I want to say 5 or 6 years ago, I started working with ketamine assisted therapy. And so we started incorporating ketamine as a way of getting people to be more aware of what is happening. It gives you more insight because even though you are disconnecting from your body, you're truly connecting with yourself, or what I call your soul self, your energy self, like who you truly are. And it gives you an opportunity to live and experience yourself without what has gone on in your body. And then if you actually use that experience well, you can get people living in their body more successfully and peacefully and more confidently. And then you use that as a lubricant also because you have neuroplasticity. So you want to capitalize on that and be able to work on correcting those negative beliefs and helping them to install in the positive ones.
Wow. I am a, I do internal family systems therapy. I think it's a phenomenal modality. And, you know, I have done psychedelic assisted therapy. I've done EMDR. All of these things have been extremely, extremely helpful. So I also did somatic experiencing when I was in treatment. I'm a childhood sexual abuse survivor. And so, you know, I kind of started with EMDR to kind of help put out fires and kind of moved it along to, you know, I was doing somatic experiencing at the same time and then moved to MDMA assisted therapy and psilocybin. And I think all of that worked so well to get together. And obviously, I'm still doing the internal family systems therapy as frequently as I can. When you encounter someone who's come to you with trauma, do you have an idea of what would work for them after, or do you kind of just, let's do EMDR and let's do somatic and let's do like all of the things together?
So I created a very thorough biopsychosocial. And the biopsychosocial is everything from the time you're in your parents' womb or your mother's womb. There's only one of you, one of them. So from the time you're in your mother's womb until today. And it's everything that has to do with your development, your learning style, any accidents that you've had, any head traumas, illnesses, injuries, surgeries, relationships along the way from childhood on up. And there's so many, like, were there family members who put pressure on your family? Were there people in the neighborhood that maybe caused stress? Was the neighborhood itself stressful to be in? So there's so many different subtle nuances for each and every individual that until I get through that whole biopsychosocial, I don't really have a big enough picture as to who someone is. So I would say I absolutely don't start with one modality or another because everyone's learning style is different and they come to the table with a different set of, like, just how they survived. So they have certain skills and tools that may have been very helpful for survival, but we might want to tweak them in a different way to use them for their ability to be able to move on and, and thrive in their life. So I would say I have protocols of how I work, but they're very individualized protocols. So there's more of a framework of all the different areas of their life that we're working on, and that we organize it and sequence it in a way that is very suited to what the patient wants to accomplish, and also what makes sense in terms of building their self back
Wow.
into who they are today.
Yeah, I think that's exactly how, health should work in general. Very individualized, because we are so
Right.
different, and it's very frustrating when it's like, you are on SSRIs. You get
Yeah.
SSRIs. It's very frustrating, because first of all, I personally feel like it's more of it kind of helps with symptoms and not necessarily it's a cure.
Right.
But I do think it has they have their own benefits. But you really like to focus on like the whole person, the integrative. I've read that about you, and I think that is so important. And I don't think a lot of people realize or understand how integrative your mental health and physical health and spiritual health all has to do with
Has to
one
do.
another. It's it's
Yeah.
and and so can you kind of break that down, because I could say that all day, but I'm not an expert. So
Yeah.
I'd love to hear your how you say it, and you're really great with your layman's terms, so I appreciate that
Well,
too.
thank you. I just spoke at a medical conference a couple of weekends ago, and I was sharing with them my biopsychosocial, because I felt as physicians, they really needed to have a more holistic understanding of who the person was that they're talking to. And but so one of the examples that I gave about, like, you have to be able to know who you are separate from what you've been through in life, separate from what your body is, right? Because your brain is just an organ, and it's like a computer. You wouldn't sit down in front of your computer and I have one window up for the dark web, I have one window up for pornography, I have one window up about being a good mom, I have another window up about, projects for my kid in school. And you don't sit there in front of those computer screens and go, all right, just tell me what you want me to know, right?
Right.
You actually go, no, we're going to close that window, we don't need any pornography today, and we're going to go over to the parenting things, because I was a problem with my child. So what do I know about parenting? Oh, I don't like that information. I should let my child cry in a crib until they fall asleep. Like, that doesn't make sense to me. I think that, like, it's an infant. Maybe it needs some soothing by its mom, and then let it rest and lie it down. It's like you get this information, and then you have to evaluate it. You have to have a relationship to it. So your brain is very much like a computer. Not that it's exactly like a computer, but it's been programmed by everyone and everything in your environment. And that's just what's in there. Then you, the individual, the soul self, which I know, like, in psychology, we're not supposed to say soul, but I am. But that I use that as the energy force of who I am, my soul self, has to be able to sift and sort through what my brain is offering me. Right? Because your brain just offers it. Your brain just goes, dark web, here it is. And it's like, wait a second, I didn't ask for that. Like, it came out of nowhere. And so it is our responsibility to be able to teach people, like, this is you. You are the energy of Shari. And this is your brain that's been trained by everyone in your environment. So when you start thinking, you are the awareness that's observing your thoughts. Right? So you get to choose at any moment in time. Do I want to take the pathway of what my brain is saying? Or do I want to take a moment and evaluate it and then make, I always say the power is in the pause. Like, you got to pause. If you pause, you can then say, like, what direction do I want to go in? And when I work with people who have chronic or traumatic stress and then have, like, OCD secondary to that, right? Because that's usually where it comes from. You can either like take the pause and go, do I go down the panic pathway or do I go down the pathway of awareness and choices and like sifting and sorting through those thoughts? Because the panic pathway is just like, oh, you tapped into a network, which is my way of saying triggering, because I don't like the word triggering. I think the word triggering is very powerless feeling, right? But if I say something happened and you tapped in to my neural network of memory, that's a very powerful thing, right? If somebody taps into your neural network, then I get to choose how I'm going to relate to that. And I can have use my skills and tools to untap and to reorganize that. And so I think it's a much more empowering way. But so if we don't teach people that they are not their thoughts, that they are the person, they're the individual who is aware of the thoughts, and therefore I might need to do things to calm my body down so that I can shift those thoughts. But the power's in the pause.
Right.
So if I am aware that I am a spiritual being having a human experience, that I am an energetic being having a human experience, then I get to dictate, wait a second, my body's going off. I'm like, my heart's pounding. Let me use my self-regulation tools to calm that down. And then let me take a look at what these thoughts are. And do I want to go down that panic pathway? Or do I want to take that pause and say, what do I want instead? You know, most people will start analyzing. Yeah. You don't need to analyze. If you did that thorough biopsychosocial, we know everything we need to know. What are you analyzing? Mm-hmm. What you need to know is, what do you want instead? I want to move forward more peacefully and more confident. Great. What does that look like? Now I'm engaging more of my senses. What does that look like? What would that feel like? Mm-hmm. When in your life have you felt that way? Can we pull from that? Or what movies have you seen where a character felt that way? So that this way you start getting people to engage all of their learning. So to me, it's like, it's about being very real about humanity and about who we are and about healing. And so to me, just sitting there and talking and talking and talking about what happened to you is actually more damaging because you're programming more neural networks. But if every time you are relating to a new, you're bringing up like how you felt powerless or help, how you felt helpless, or when you felt I'm bad, which a lot of survivors go to that place because it's a survival tool to believe you're bad. Because if you believed that you were powerless to a grown-up who was responsible for you, that's hard to overcome. But if you say, but I'm a bad girl and I participated in this, then you can survive that. But then that has to be part, like, corrected, because that's not accurate. It was just a survival belief. And we have to move on past that. And so being able to engage the body and being able to engage the true self, the mind, and being able to sift and sort through what the brain is telling you, I think becomes really important. So if I have instruments and tools and skills in my life to center myself, which to me is meditation and mindfulness and using different types of movement to get to know your body and live in your body, then it's time to go and experience yourself in energetic form and really get the message of who you are, because you came to this planet to have experiences to expand, right? We live in a universe. I think I might base everything off of what we know about the universe, right? Because we're a microcosm of a macrocosm. Mm-hmm. So the universe is constantly expanding. So what's expansion? Well, we know we give birth and we love. So love has to be a part of that vibrational frequency, has to be a part of expansion. So I believe that when we compassionately and lovingly get to look at ourselves, and certainly in the face of another person and with another person. And that's why it took people to have the trauma, and it takes people to heal a trauma. Mm-hmm. Unless it was like an accident, in which case you fell unsafe. And it does take people to help you create that sense of safety again, right? Other individuals. So I think that our spiritual beliefs are very important. It helps us to know we're not alone, and it helps us to know that we are interconnected. We are an interconnected species, and we're connected with nature and everything. And so we could draw support from there. And I think that if part of your pain was being unsafe because there are unsafe people you were connected to, since most sexual assaults, 93 or 95% of them, are done by people that you knew, meaning you were groomed for them, right? Then you have to create a new sense of safety within yourself. And we get that from our connection to others.
Yeah.
Right. So yeah. All if you don't address everything in manageable bite-sized pieces, but you have to address it all. You can't just say, oh, this is the way. Psychedelics aren't going to heal the planet. How we use them and how we incorporate them into our work absolutely can. Right. But it's never one thing.
Right.
And in order for us to feel our sense of worthiness, you must feel connection and belonging first. And we're supposed to learn connection from our primary caregivers. And when that doesn't happen, you have to be able to find it somewhere else. And I find tremendous connection in this relationship here. And then you're able to, even when you can trust yourself, you can trust others. And sometimes it takes one other person for you to be able to trust that can help you to feel safe connecting here. So it's got to be a whole approach of an integrative approach, because there's your body, there's your brain that's a part of your body, and there's your mind, and there's your soul, and there it is all together. So we have to address it all and use all of that as our tools in our good health and well-being.
Yeah, I do find there are people that I know, you know, personally, who, you know, they can be reactive because of their experiences, and the pause is just not there. And the pause, it's how do you work with those people who can't see that just yet? Because I have to admit, before I went into treatment in 2020, like I didn't believe anything anybody was telling me. It really took me hitting rock bottom for me to kind of pause and see what was happening. Because you're just, I was just in this place where everything was rushed and everything was hurt, like very difficult to, and very, I was very reactive. And I guess at that point, you're just like, do I need the help? Like, I probably do need help, but am I going to actually get the help that I need? How do you talk to somebody who can't see that far into their a healing process?
So I think I always ask people what they want when they walk in my door. Right? Because it's what they want. Just because I don't know what your life could look like if I could get you in alignment with your soul and rocking and rolling. It's like, doesn't matter what I can see. It matters where they're starting.
Yeah. Right?
And so I have to ask them where they're starting. And sometimes it has nothing to do with self-regulation and being present. So that biopsychosocial gives me an opportunity for them, not only for me to get to know them, but for them to get to know me, for them to see how I react to what they've been through, to their good, their bad, and their ugly. And it gives them an opportunity to see if the therapist is genuine and real and present, and if they've done their work. Because if they can't be human, then why would they trust you?
Yeah.
Right? So I think that anybody who's sitting in our seat has to be able to sit in the other seat and do their work first. And I feel that way about psychedelics as much as I feel that way about therapy. And I think that the other thing that we do as clinicians is we have ongoing supervision. And I've done peer supervision. I've been doing therapy for 30 years. And I was in supervisory groups in New York City and participated. And when I got to Florida, I continued with my clinical supervisor from New York, and he was kind enough to stay with me online and do it that way. And then I just found another clinician and I respected his work tremendously. He works out in California and we talk twice a week and talk about our cases and what's going on and how we're working it. Because I think, number one, it's great to hear other people's perspectives of what they're doing and also to get feedback on what you're doing. And I think that makes you a better instrument for your client, for your patient. So when you're with somebody, if you know what they want to accomplish, you can bring them along. And then you could say, well, you said you wanted this. So let's start going down that path. But maybe we want to add this. And then they're open to it because they're forming a relationship with you that they can trust. And I think that if we focus on that initially for those patients who don't want to take the pause, and for those people who have a really hard time and are dysregulated and don't want to hear that they're responsible for any of it, you don't start there. You start where they're at and you bring them there.
This is season five. It's season, my first season, I interviewed the psychedelic integrative coach, and she kept asking me, "Well, what is it that you want?" And I was like, and all I kept saying were all the things I didn't want. She's like, "I didn't ask you what you didn't want. I asked you
Right.
what you want." I was like, "I don't know." And I just
Exactly.
remember being on the podcast, like on my, it was my own podcast, and I'm like, I actually have no idea, because I haven't thought about it, because I always focused on what it was that I didn't want,
Right.
which there was a problem there, because I
Right,
clearly
right.
didn't know what I wanted. But that is true. Once you are able to figure out what you want, there's a path that you can figure out how to get there. And I
Right.
didn't realize that.
Right.
So that was mind-blowing for me.
Good. We're always
Yes.
learning. I'm always learning.
Oh,
You know, I
I'm
think we're always
constantly learning.
learning, and it's wonderful because I think when you stop learning, you stop creating, you just don't want to be on the planet anymore. And I think that's something for us to take a look at too. Is and it's part of my biopsychosocial, like what do you do for ongoing learning? And what do you like to do for fun? And how do you use your creativity on a daily basis?
You talked about very briefly, Can't Tell Foundation, and you, for providing accessibility to all these holistic treatments. How do you provide accessibility? Because it is, I feel like it is very difficult for people to find, a place for healing, like an organization or even a therapist who actually knows like the integrative work of healing trauma, because most of it's just kind of talk therapy, which I did for 20 years and didn't help me at all until I found internal family systems. But I'm curious, how are you able to provide accessibility?
Well, I'm sorry to say that we haven't done enough fundraising. So what becomes accessible is I end up giving a lot of treatment away for free. I end up paying my therapist to do treatment. So I have people who can have it for free. And more recently, I think that some very affluent people have recognized that that's what I've been doing, or else I would have a lot more money and than I do. But there's plenty coming in. I'm just using it for the benefit of other people most of the time. And which I think is a very valuable investment for us to invest in each other. So more recently, we are looking at raising some capital so that my goal for this foundation is was really to treat, like when I had to help my children overcome their traumas, I called every single person in my Rolodex that I knew could help me. It was an acupuncture physician, it was a psychiatrist. My children were 2 and 4 at the time.
Oh my
So
goodness.
it was a Krav Maga specialist, it was other types of martial arts. I was doing fitness with them. I was doing music and movement. But everyone that I called came to my side. And I'm a single mom solely responsible for my children. And I would have never been able to afford the treatment that I was putting together for my children. And everyone helped me free of charge. And so I created the foundation because one of my populations that I worked with in New York City very often, or a lot of, were children in foster care. And I felt like they were such a forgotten group of people. And I think it's horrible the way that we treat kids who have been sexually assaulted and physically abused and already traumatized that it's happening in their homes. And therefore, their attachments to their parents have already been wounded. And then we take them away from their families in a not very friendly way, in a not supportive way. And we either put them into group homes or into another person's home that maybe aren't even equipped for them. And so I thought if I could raise enough money to treat every child in foster care, I know that I created a really amazing integrative trauma treatment program. And I would love to be able to have like centers or camps pop up all over the world that we would be able to do these protocols, which include the meditation and mindfulness and all of the things I shared with you to help them be able to heal from their traumas. Because I think if we heal that population of people and help empower them, and then there's so many organizations that will then help them with money management and colleges and what have you. But if we can help them at the root cause of their issues, I just think that they will have a really great shot at building the life that they came here for. So that is my goal with the Can't Tell Foundation. And in the meantime, I've just helped a lot of as many people as I could by just giving them free treatment. But I think we're about to start rocking and rolling. And I've been building artificial intelligence, which would be an app so that when they're out of treatment, that when, and I also train therapists in integrative mental health, but it's a really great tool that they would be able to have something they can go to and use as follow-up and making sure they're sticking to their plan. And it actually has a whole schedule on it that gives them the different breath work and the yoga and the movement and the self-regulation tools, and it's right there. So if they're stuck in a jam, they can go to their app and they can get what they need, and they can even program out, you know, a daily schedule to help keep them on track with their morning routines and things that help them navigate their body and minds as they go through the day.
Wow, I'm just paying it forward.
That's right. Yeah.
Is there a website somewhere where people can go who do want to donate to your foundation and support what you're doing?
So I think you can reach out to us right now. Right now, we've been in like this interim of rebuilding our websites, but we do, you can see a video from one of the treatment programs on connected.com. If you go to the not-profit link, it'll come down. And if anybody is interested, I would just encourage you to reach out through the website. And connected is spelled CANNECTD. So I know it's like a unique spelling, dot com. And if anybody's interested in supporting our cause, we would love that. We could use all the help. And we're also looking for clinicians who'd want to do the work as well.
Awesome. Well, I'll be sure to include that in the show notes so folks know where to go. Is there anything that you would like to add?
I think that it, I think I've said everything that I think is really relevant, which is take an integrative approach, be a part of, like, get yourself into a community that feels safe, creating that sense of safe relationships. Your social support network is huge. I think learning how to meditate with your learning style, because people will tell me that, oh, I can't meditate. And I'm like, we just haven't found your learning style yet. And then when you do, you can build a meditation that really helps somebody connect to themselves. And then I think if you're a practitioner in this field, I think that peer supervision and clinical supervision always is extremely helpful. We get vicariously traumatized by our patients, and we need to be on top of who we are and taking care of ourselves so we can be the best instrument in someone else's healing.
Yeah. Amazing. Sherry, thank you so much for having this amazing conversation with me. I do appreciate it.
Well, thank you for having me, and I would love to talk to you anytime, on or offline.
Amazing. Thank you. That was
Thanks.
Sherry Kaplan, integrative mental health and plant medicine expert and founder of the Can't Tell Foundation. For more information about Sherry and her foundation, check out the show notes. May's issue of Authentic Insider is out. Check out Authentic Insider at traumasurvivorthriver.com. That's traumasurvivorthriver.com, as well as past episodes of a Trauma Survivor Thrivers podcast. If you haven't already, please subscribe to my email list to get Authentic Insider magazine in your inbox monthly. You've been listening to a Trauma Survivor Thrivers podcast. I'm Lori Lee Binstock. Thank you for being a part of the conversation. Take care.